right, let's take a break from all this NFL talk, and let's talk about a sport where everything's the same except the players aren't getting paid. Chester doesn't really know anything about college football, so he's not here. He's also not here because his wife, you know, who has already banned him from doing the last 15 podcasts, did not let him show up tonight. She is in charge. She wears the pants, and she said, no podcast tonight, Alex. And so it's just me and superfan Robbie. Not really superfan anymore. I'm not even sure if he listens, but he is a college football superfan. So we'll call him superfan Robbie, the college football superfan. Robbie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. First, let's. I think your comments were kind of controversial. I don't want to call myself completely Team Jen, but I'm pretty close. First of all, I knew Jen before Alex.
Mm.
Second of all, I don't know. Chester has a lot of freedom. I feel like for a married guy.
I would say Chester is
kids,
in the 30th percentile of my friends freedom wise.
30th percentile.
I would say I'm in the 100th.
Like eight,
I'm
eight,
without question in the 100th.
18 podcasts. He makes all these lists and charts. He's the dictator
though.
Of a fantasy, at least one fantasy football league with
just one
insane rule book.
Yes.
I mean,
he was so excited today to call me a dictator because he told me he gets called the dictator of his league constantly. And he was mad about some obscure rule thing. He also wrote the, 20-page rule book that has, rule 12-I-C-A-B-C, very law-style, even though he's not the commissioner of that league. He has, a mild amount of freedom. There are certain things he does, but I think once he gets home, it's not great.
But that's, deserved. If you use all your credit, you can't.
Yeah, but why should he get punished? The fact that he gets away with doing all these things out of the house, why should he? I don't know. I don't know. She doesn't know that's what's happening.
He stays up to 2 in the morning
doing
chores.
This is not a podcast for Jen defenders. This is not that type of show.
Okay, you just got to tell Jen that I said this. Anyway.
No,
next.
She doesn't listen. She's never going to find out any of this stuff. All right, let's talk about college football.
Let's do it.
All right, last year you came on. We went conference by conference. You gave us your rankings. I do want to do some of that, but I wanted to go a little different this year. This is a list-making podcast, and I know you have a list of the 10 worst college football fan bases, and I wanted to hear that list, and maybe we could troll some people and get people angry.
Yeah, that's no problem. So really I did the 5 worst and then the 5 quote-unquote worst, which are really the best. They're just the best at what they do, but they get a lot of hate for what they do.
Best at what they do, trolling, or best at what they do, they're great fans, but they're obnoxious?
You'll see.
Who would be the worst best in the NFL? By just to give us an idea of what you're talking about.
I completely stopped watching the NFL.
Watch football, but you could. Is that a Patriots
these
thing?
Are the Patriots the worst
or the worst best?
At this point, I'd say they're the worst best that they've come full circle. Then
I know why you stopped watching.
I'm a Giant fan. I know I'm a Giant fan, but the Giants would also be there. That you're just we'll get lucky and win the Super Bowl, of course.
Correct.
That's a type of thing.
Why you stopped watching the NFL, Robbie.
No, it has nothing to do with politics.
Every Wolverine it has nothing to do with nothing to do with politics.
Oh, okay.
Every Wolverine goes to the NFL and is complete garbage now. And so to you it just ruins the idea of Harbaugh and the Michigan stuff because
didn't Taylor Lewan just sign the biggest contract in history and talk about garbage when they go pro? Duke Blue Devil basketball.
That's true. That's true. I guess you guys are the Duke of football. Jabril Peppers is going to be out of the NFL in 2 years.
Disagree.
You were so high on Jabril Peppers.
They play him at safety. They play him in their own end zone. He plays 70 yards away from the play.
By the way, he has not been on Hard Knocks yet. I don't know. I don't know why they haven't. They haven't even shown him on Hard Knocks, Jabril Peppers.
I don't watch Hard Knocks.
You don't watch the NFL. All right, so let's start with your worst. Who are the actual worst fan bases?
I was pretty objective here, and I put fifth on my list on worst fan bases is Michigan. I had to put my own Wolverines there, our own Michigan men, so that's what we're called, Michigan men. And it comes to us just being an insanely indignant fan base. everyone in the country cheats except Michigan. You know, if you choose to go to a different school, you obviously don't care about academics. Now, that you could choose to go to Duke over Michigan, even though it's a better academic school. Michigan fans would still say you don't care about academics. Like, you have transgressed God if you choose to go to a different school. And mm-hmm. the thought that literally everyone else gets paid except Michigan doesn't pay its players. I mean, we got Rashawn Gary, the number one player in the country. I don't know if he got paid or didn't, but you're winning these recruits over Clemson, Alabama. If they're paying players, obviously you are too. So the indignant mm-hmm. Michigan fan is makes me number five on that list.
Okay.
Number four, I got the Tennessee Volunteers. Oh, let me preface this. So some of the teams like Michigan, I have a lot of experience with the fan base. A lot of this is hearsay from blogs and podcasts I listen to. And then I've also like traveled to a lot of games and met a lot of people and fans. So it's kind of just a mixture of everything and rumors. So
now, do you consider yourself part of this insufferable group? Like, are you in this group or are you better than them?
I'm like one of those Michigan fans who like is a little more like hang my head and sulking these days. Like, I don't think we're going to beat Ohio State this year. Like, I'm like really upset, like a world is going to end type of guy, which is weird because in like real life, I'm like the most optimistic, happy-go-lucky idiot in the world. So I wouldn't consider myself a Michigan man in that context, mm-hmm. but like, obviously, I'm around them quite a bit.
Right. Yeah. Who would know better than you? And I could only imagine where Ohio State ends up if Michigan is fifth.
Well, Ohio State, I'm completely ignoring. I'm not even mentioning them.
Oh, so you don't mention them. Now, we should mention, because we're recording this, Zach Smith just went off on Twitter, which is what all innocent people do.
It was amazing.
Started attacking people. I do want to – do you think – so let's also compare it from this – if a Zach Smith type situation had happened at Michigan, do you think Michigan would have handled it better?
I think just because Michigan's has a lot of their donors are not necessarily the football donors. So like the rumors are that like Ohio State brought like their 10 biggest donors and like 8 were football donors and 2 weren't. And
you mean in that big meeting that took all day? Is that what you're saying? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Got so it. Like 8-2 type of thing. Right, in Michigan, right. I think you would get more guys like Stephen Ross and Jeff Blau would be like, we probably have to fire Harbaugh. I mean, mm-hmm. and again, like a Michigan man in this example or another fan base that we'll get to down this list would be like, this can't happen at our school. I mean, this can happen at any school.
Sure.
Like, Michigan fans are quote
unquote. But it's embarrassing because Smith has proven himself to be such a loser. And like a lunatic, and there were so many things he did that were fireable on or at least, you know, like questioning, you know, would really bring into question his character, outside of the fact that he abused his wife, allegedly. It's crazy that he was able to keep his job. Like, there's no one who's a good enough wide receivers coach to worth this much agita. It's insane that, like, Urban Meyer should have been fired just for poor judgment. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, he did it as a favor to his old mentor. I mean, the rumors are he was, like, begging MAC teams to take this guy and, like, you know, I mean, the Power Five coaches' relationship with G5 coaches is very important with, like, transfers and all that. He's, like, begging them to take this guy, and they're like, absolutely not. This guy is just really untouchable. So
you mean before this came out?
Yes, before. Yeah. For years he's been, apparently. Okay. I mean, those are like,
why couldn't you just fire him?
I think he felt indebted to his grandpa who just died. Right. Who the hell
yeah,
knows?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. It was a complicated sort of family situation.
Anyway, Ohio State is loaded.
do you think that, first of all, were you surprised that they didn't fire Urban?
No, I actually am surprised they suspended him for 3 games.
Okay.
I thought he was going to get 0.
Yeah, and do you think at this point it's over, or do you think it might come back again and they might?
I think it's done. Like, done, okay. Done. Yeah.
I would agree. Unless something absolutely flagrant comes out, I think you're right. I think it is done. It may expedite the end of his career earlier, but I think in terms of getting penalized for this.
There's a few people saying he may go to the NFL next year or something, but yeah. I don't think so. I think he's... You know, unfortunately, I think he's staying at Ohio State for a really long time.
Right. Right. So you're in a position where you're also sort of rooting for him to get fired for.
If the Dolphins or the Browns wanted a new coach.
I think the Dolphins went down that road with Saban. It didn't go so well. So I don't know if it would be the Dolphins.
New ownership. And yeah, the owner of the Dolphins is the biggest donor to Michigan. So
Ross is a Michigan guy. Yeah.
Yes.
He should do that and just fire him the first day. The problem is now that Gruden got $100 million, I think all these guys basically won't go for less than like 80, 90 million.
Well, that's fine. Especially because the college coaches make that much.
Contracts are longer. Yes.
Jimbo.
Yeah, we're in a weird point where some of the Power 5 coordinators are making more than some of the NFL coordinators, which is bizarre.
I mean, it's actually went on for a little, like it was creeping this way. I actually talked about that on the last year's podcast. Like the college coaches make more, if not, you know, and there's a lot more jobs. So like there's a lot, you know, more competition to go from team to team. So,
and there's more stability. College coaches rarely last 3 years. NFL coaches frequently last 3 years. Like if you have a decent coach, 3 years is, you know, nothing in college football. But if, you know, you get hired by a guy who doesn't have a quarterback in the NFL, you're not, you know, 3 years. If you don't make the playoffs in 3 years, you're generally gone.
Yeah, I would say you have more runway in college.
Yes.
It's harder to rebuild, but.
All right, who's the fourth worst fan base, Robbie?
I have the Tennessee Volunteers.
Okay.
So this is really just all rumor based, but this last year they like went through 10 iterations of finding a coach, dragging names through the mud, fans filing Freedom of Information Acts, which has become a thing in college football with these public institutions, to get like text message records. And I mean, Tennessee fans at this point, like they seem like they think they're better than they are. Like they're not in a recruiting hotbed. They haven't been good in God knows how long.
I think they're totally unaware that, like, if you ever see one of these rankings of like 10 best coaching jobs, like irrespective of the coach, like the Volunteers fans are unaware that it's not the 90s anymore, and like the game is sort of passed by.
So like there's that's no what reason, everyone said about Nebraska.
There's no reason to assume they'll ever be good again, right? Like they're going to pine for the days of Philip Fulmer.
Absolutely. So everyone said, like, that's what everyone said about Nebraska, but it seems like Nebraska got, you know, their knight in shining armor, Scott Frost, to come back. But like that, who's coming back to Tennessee? Peyton Manning? Like, I don't know, you know, like Peyton Manning
would it blow your mind if they ever hired Peyton Manning? And I guess the problem is they probably can't afford him.
Yeah, I mean, like, he probably makes more money doing and doesn't really work doing whatever
he
does.
I don't think they could. Because, he's very wealthy. I just don't think they could afford him. Because even $10 million, he'd have to think about it. And Tennessee is clearly not as wealthy as some of these other SEC schools, as, you know, as sort of witnessed by who they hire.
Well, the thing is, like, the money gets, like, outrageous because these TV contracts are for the Power 5, are about, let's call it $20 to $30 million a year. But you actually have to spend it. Right. So you're not a for-profit business. So you actually have to spend it, and you're in a perpetual like fundraising thing. So if you're like building all this money, like people are like, oh, we don't need to donate to you. So people are just constantly redoing their weight rooms and all that stuff. So,
right.
I mean, they probably could afford $10 million a year, but
I don't know if Peyton would do it for that. Yeah. So you're saying there's no light at the end of the tunnel right now for Tennessee?
I don't think so. I think Jeremy Pruitt's not Kirby Smart. That's their new coach. I don't think he's Kirby. I don't think he's that great Saban disciple. I think he's, you know, more along the lines of the other Saban disciples who haven't really, you know, worked out. Like they've treaded around, and he has a solid coaching tree, but it's not phenomenal. You know, it's not like Willie. I think Willie Taggart will be great at FSU, but like I think Harbaugh's coaching tree is better. So I'm not all in on Jeremy Pruitt. And then, like, that job could become radioactive after a year or two.
Yeah, I mean, he has relatively little experience, right? He's got 5 years as a coordinator. No, it is at the highest level, Florida State, Georgia, and Alabama. But he was a position coach just 6 years ago. He was in the high school 12 years ago and not even as a head coach. So he has literally no head coaching experience at any level, even at the high school level. It's a tough gig. You're coming in and you're playing in the SEC.
Yeah, and he plays the same, you know, he's a defensive guy, I think, and he plays, like, similar systems, you know. It's not like he's bringing something completely new like Baylor did with Art Briles and or, like, Gus Malzahn with all those shifts, and you're just – or Jeff Brohm at Purdue is a good example. Like, you're not bringing something completely new and overhauling the program. It's kind of just more of the same, and, you know, you're just going to continue to drown.
Yeah. And by the way, Butch Jones is – a pretty good coach. Like, they fired him because they think that they should be winning national championships, but he had them with, you know, a winning record in the SEC. They went 9-4 2 years in a row. Like, that could be their max now. That could be their, like, peak capability.
I'm not team Butch Jones. Never was.
I mean, he was really good at Cincy. He was really good in the MAC, so he's okay.
Central Michigan, I think, right?
I guess, yeah. I mean, he doesn't have a job now, which, you know, doesn't bode that well, but it might be a money thing also where he's still getting paid.
Yeah, it could be.
So who's three, the third worst fan base?
Three, and I said this tepidly, is NC State, my friend Colin. He'll be happy I put him on this list. There was a parking lot it's actually a really terrible, sad story. Parking lot stabbing situation where some naval veteran got stabbed in the parking lot. Like, and a lot of this comes just from Colin brainwashing me that, like, their fans are crazy, like, just complete animals. You see them at the Clemson game, they're, like, throwing things on the field and at the refs. They're just it seems like NC State fans are a breed of their own almost, and that they're
but this is a team that's never
wild.
Good. So that's why I'm surprised to see them at number three.
Well, they're not never good. Like, actually, last year they should have been better. Their schedule was just really difficult. And this year, like, they have Finley's, I think, a really good quarterback. He had great numbers last year. They lost, obviously, Bradley Chubb and a few guys on defense. But I have them going 7-5. I mean, I wouldn't call them, like, bottom dwellers. They just have – they're in
no, they're not bottom dwellers, but it's interesting to see a team that's third that's never really in the top 10.
So that's, like, the best part about college football is that you get, like, these fan bases, and then, like, on my shout-out list of, like, shout-out good fan bases at the end, like – they're like middle of the road or lower tier. Well, not all, but like middle of the road, like some are neither here nor there programs that are just great fan bases. And that's like the best part about college football is that you don't need to be Alabama to be the best fan base. You don't need to be Clemson to be the best fan base. You could be a great fan base and be perennially 8-4, 7-5.
Yeah. And NC State, it's interesting because they're sort of out of the national conversation because the basketball team, They had a decent run at the beginning of the Gottfried era, but, like, they've been mostly irrelevant for a long time. They haven't gotten past the Sweet 16 since Jim Valvano was there, and they have not been to the Elite Eight. They've missed the tournament two of the last 3 years. The other one they lost in the first round. So maybe their football team will surpass their basketball team at some point.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think the thing is with basketball relative to football is the second tier jobs in basketball seem like all the same. Like, you would take the prestige ladder. There's a clear ladder in football and prestige. I think that's a lot more cluttered at the tier two, you know, P5 job. Like, is NC State really a much better job than, I don't know, some random Pac-12 like Cal? I don't know.
Basketball?
Like, your resources are about the same. Like, I don't know. Like, what's the difference between NC State and
Wait, hold on. Cal's a better job than NC State.
In basketball?
Yeah, of course it is.
Okay. I mean, like, but I feel it's about
the same.
Cal
is like a rich school.
Yeah, but they don't put their hearts and minds into athletics, Cal.
No, it's not their priority, but still, by accident, they could still be better than a school like the Wolfpack. Who is your number two?
Notre Dame. So Notre Dame is like the same as indignant as Michigan, but you throw a little bit of a religious twist on it, and then you also have like people with zero connection to the school. Like, they don't even need to be Irish, and they're just like Notre Dame fans for literally no reason and know nothing about the team. So Notre Dame fans are like, it's all the bad on Michigan plus more bad. So as Michigan looks to lead off opening against them, a little dirt thrown their way as well.
Yeah, with Notre Dame also, first of all, do you think they still have the most fans? Like, are there more more Notre Dame fan still than Alabama or Ohio State?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think the thing is also about Notre Dame, like I said, is you get people with zero connection to the school. They just like are Irish or think they're Irish or, you know, maybe Scottish or something. And they just are fans of Notre Dame. And then the people who actually like hardcore fans, like that's a whole nother level. Like if you don't go to Notre Dame in recruiting, you're obviously cheating. We can't pay players. Like the whole Michigan thing, just worse.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, when I was a kid, I was a Notre Dame fan, and I guess it's just because like they had cool uniforms and they were actually good when I was a little kid. And I get how you could get sucked into it because they're always on television because every game is televised. Now every team is televised, so it's not really such a big catch that they're always on TV.
Yeah, I mean, being the son of a rabbi, that makes complete sense for you.
I mean, but when you're a little kid, you don't even know that, like, I had no idea that they were, like, a Catholic school.
It's okay.
And who is the worst fan base, the bad fan base in college football?
So let me preface this by I know a lot of people who went there.
I think last year.
It was lovely, lovely fans, lovely people, but it's an absolute cult. And that is Penn State.
Yeah, I think once you said Ohio State was not going to be on the list, I don't think there was another option. I think Penn State had to be number one here, especially for, you know, with a Michigan person doing the rankings. What do you find particularly abhorrent about the Penn State fans, though?
I mean, just the whole Joe Pa situation and how they will defend him to the
They still have truthers. They still have Sandusky truthers if you're on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, that's few and far between, but they will defend Joe Pa to the absolute death. It's like, you realize what hill you're willing to die on here. Lovely people, very nice, like, but if you get into a conversation with Penn State fans, do not bring up, you know, Joe Pa or the quote-unquote situation. Like, it's just not, like, they lose their minds. They're completely irrational. It's a cult.
Do you think there's a little bit of... How about this? Do you think Penn State will be in the national championship picture in the next 5 years? Like, do you think they will be in the semifinals?
In the next 5 years?
Yes.
The only reason I'll say no is I just think Michigan and Ohio State are operating at such a high level. I think they'll make multiple BCS bowls, though. They'll be relevant. Yeah, they've been recruiting at such an amazing clip that it's hard to see them out. I think Franklin's a good coach. Losing Moorhead will hurt, and obviously losing Saquon, but they've been recruiting so well. You got to think they'll be very, very solid for the foreseeable future. So New Year's Six bowls, I think in the next 5 years, I would guess three, let's say. But I don't see a Final Four in their future. But they'll be right there. They'll be very relevant.
They have 5 losses in the last 2 years. 4 of them were by 3 points or less. We won't talk about the 5th one.
Michigan.
by 39. But it is interesting because I do think that the Penn State, realistic Penn State fans at a certain point, we're probably starting to get nervous, like Nebraska fans, like Tennessee fans. You talk about, like, hey, has our time come and gone? And now it looks like the answer is no. Like, do I think Franklin is, like, a top-tier, top-5 coach? I don't. But for whatever reason, like you're saying, they've been able to get a core of guys. Now, they have the best player in college football, and now he's gone. But it does seem like the talent is still there all over the place. The Big Ten is impossible to get through. But I get why they're insufferable. They also make it seem like Michigan, the University of Michigan, is a better school than Penn State.
Correct.
But I don't know if Penn State alumni know that. Like, I feel like they act like it's a elite school when, and I'm not even sure it's in the top 50 in, like, the U.S. News and World Report rankings.
Yeah, I mean, you see that a lot, though. Like, Michigan fans certainly do that. Like, we'll compare ourselves to, like, a Duke academically. Like, we're nowhere near Duke. That's ridiculous. Right. There's a few schools that, like, come to mind when you say that, and I'll absolutely get to one later that is really like the Michigan comp, that everyone there is like, oh, no, no, this school is better than Michigan. It's like, well, you applied to Michigan and didn't go in. That's the only reason you went there. And, mm-hmm. But I'll rant on this school a bit later as my most overrated fan base in the country.
All right, so go through the five schools that are so bad they're good.
Okay, so five, I have Alabama. And when you talk about Alabama, you think of, like, Bama fans think everything is the most important thing in the entire world. Bama football is the most important thing in the entire world. Harvey Updike's poisoning trees and calling in radio stations to brag about it. But I went to a game there, I think two, maybe 3 years ago, and the fans, and I went to a Bama game at LSU where they traveled really well for. Bama fans are great. The girls will like wear really, really, really like pajamas out during the week, and then to the game they wear literally their Sunday best. Like they wear like almost wedding dresses to the games because you got to come to play on Saturdays. It's a really professional operation, and the Bama fans. Probably the best in-game experience I ever had was at LSU, that Alabama-LSU game. The Bama fans were right up there in the LSU fans' face, just cheering really hard with their pom-poms, like, not afraid. Alabama fans are really great at what they do. They are just pros at it.
I think the fall is going to come. It doesn't, not necessarily soon, but when Saban leaves, they have an unsustainable level of success that no team ever will be able to match what they're doing right now again. And the fall's going to be so big. It's funny because when I was younger, and when we were younger, like, you ever read, like, Rammer Hammer Yellow Jammer, that book?
No.
It's a book about a writer, I think his name is Warren St. John, who goes around to, like, every Alabama game for a season. And the coach is Mike Shula. And, like, they're so bad. The book doesn't even end in a bowl game, I think. And it's crazy how good, like, it was. Back then, Alabama was, like, below Auburn, basically. And it's crazy how they've become, like, the Patriots on steroids. Like, they're better than the Patriots. You know, their worst seasons are better than the Patriots' worst seasons. But eventually this has to end. And, like, what happens to a fan who, like, expects to win the championship rightfully every year when they don't win it anymore?
Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of college football. Like, when I was in college, when I started, like, really getting into it, Alabama was not good. Like, Auburn was much better. And USC was really like dominating college football, and people were like, they get every single West Coast recruit that they want, and Pete Carroll's an amazing coach. They're never gonna lose again. And you know, before that, you had Miami. The truth is, in college football, for whatever reason, the fall always eventually comes. Now, you know, Saban may keep up at this clip for another 5 years, but
sure.
I mean, the fall, he has to leave. You got to get someone else. It never just maintains. Like, when Belichick and Brady leave the Patriots, I mean, it's just a matter of time. Like, what happens?
God willing. Yes.
Like, you know, I mean, you're built on players, like, and recruiting and coaching. And Saban's unbelievable, but he's not going to live forever.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. I think... I think the end is pretty close to Saban. I just don't know what else they have to prove. I don't know. Like, I don't think he's going to go back to the NFL, but I'm not sure. I don't know if Saban has one more move in him, but I do think these guys get bored. Recently, it seems like these guys have gotten more bored than the Joe Paz and the Bowdens who stayed basically till they died.
Yeah. I mean, Alabama, they have some kinks in their armor. Like, I'm not going to, you know, think they're going to fall apart, but and I have them making the Final Four, but their linebacking core is a little banged up and a little shallower. You know, they're mm-hmm. relying on their offense, they're saying, might be the stronger unit this year, and that may be true, but it's never been true. So we'll see. I mean, I have them in the Final Four, so I can't, you know, really say I'm picking against them. But I mean, they lost to Auburn last year, pretty decisively. We'll see. You know. I still think they're going to be great. You got to be crazy not to think that, but yeah.
Who else is on this list?
So four, I have Miami, and I've been thinking about this. I feel like Miami fans are, you know, it's almost like the best example we have of like racial harmony, where I just feel like every Miami fan, it doesn't matter if they're like Jewish, Italian, black, Cuban, Hispanic, whatever. I just feel like they're all kind of the same person. Like they are just wearing authentic jerseys and gold chains and, you know, showing off the Miami gaudiness, whatever you are. And they do it great. Like that when Miami is good, Miami fans come full on to the games and like really embrace the Miami culture. And, you know, like, yeah, maybe we'll get in some NCAA violations and cheating, but it's all good. You know, Miami fans, I've come full circle on them.
Yeah, I also think that they overachieve because, you know, it's not nearly the size of basically every other school we've mentioned. It's a smaller school. It's a private school. I think they're and they're in a place where the worst sports area in the whole country. So I do think they're punching above their weight. So I kind of like the Hurricanes fans.
Yeah, someone did Bill Connolly did a special on Miami as a city, as a sports city. It was interesting. I mean, they kind of admit they're fair-weather fleeting fans. But, you know, when Miami's good, and I really like Mark Richt, I've always been a Richt defender. When Miami's good, the fans come out. Like, apparently it was electric for that Notre Dame game and Virginia Tech game. So we'll see if they could keep it up this year.
Yeah, who's number three?
Three, I have Texas. And right. Texas fans are like the guy who – all Texas fans are like the guy who will gamble on anything, except Texas fans will donate or buy anything. Like, if only money could win championships, they just, like, throw money, like the famous story where one of the donors – you know, paid money to put his name on the field and then paid money to take his name off the field when Texas lost the game. They're just out of control with the money thing. Like for as much money as Michigan raises or any of these Alabama raises, Texas just, you know, completely overhauls the money department. And I like Herman. I think he's going to build something good there eventually, but hasn't come to fruition yet. But the money thing makes them like apoplectic at times. They're just completely off their rocker when they don't win. So Texas number three. Number two, I have Florida State, and that comes from a personal experience. The Florida State fans at the Ole Miss Florida State game two years ago in Orlando that I went to, they were just like the trashiest fans ever. Like there were girls with their like grandmas and father like sitting right in front of me. There's this girl wearing practically no top. Like it was just insane. Like the Florida State fans are like bumpkin Florida. They are a whole new breed of Florida fans, but you know, I like it. They come full circle on that. All in on Florida State fans.
I know. So losing the coach to Texas A&M, not great.
So as a Harbaugh guy, and I am a Harbaugh guy, I got to love who they replaced him with, Willie Taggart. Yeah. He considers himself the third Harbaugh brother.
Sure, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a great look. Fisher chose to go to A&M over Florida State, right?
Well, they, first of all, paid him a ton of money. Florida State made him fire his entire staff before he left during the season. Not a great look. I think Jimbo is a great coach, but obviously he's proven that he's won national championship, but I think Taggart will build something good. It seems like they're going to get the number one recruit for 19 now, Kayvon Thibodeau out of California. So that'd be a huge pull for Taggart. You know, I think I have them winning 9 games this year, which would be a very good year one for Taggart there.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, you start with at 9-4, I think you're doing okay. Who is the worst, best, worst fan base?
And this is another one where I've actually been to 2 of these games. Ole Miss. Ole Miss has just, like, said, we can't compete in the SEC. Oh, yes, we can. We will cheat. We will do whatever it takes, but we are competing. So I could give a quick story of when I went to the Bama at Ole Miss game, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Yeah. So there we're sitting like front row and right in front of the Ole Miss bench and right next to these Ole Miss fans, probably like about 50 years old, all the players start going up to the guy and introducing themselves to him and the friends and shaking his hand and hugging the guy. And we get to talking during the game, and he said he's a booster for Ole Miss. And pretty much throughout the game, he's just telling us how much money he's playing the Nick Amdiche brothers, and that, you know, Robert's pretty crazy, but his brother's even crazier, and how much money it took to get Laquon Treadwell. And pretty much they're just caught with 90% of this, if not all of it's probably true. And Ole Miss fans, you know, they have a smaller stadium for an SEC stadium, I think the smallest, but if you just pay your way, just like they completely embrace the cheating culture. And yeah, so they were my best worst fan base.
Awesome. All right, what are the other lists you made, Robbie?
So most overrated, and this was my, this was Wisconsin. And Wisconsin is infuriating because all of the podcasts love Wisconsin fans, talk about how much they drink and how like hardy they are as Midwesterners, which is absolutely true. But then you get like a huge contingent of Northeasterners who go there who think they're like part of that clan when they're just not. And they're like super jappy or just super like indignant about it, being like, Wisconsin's the best school of all time. It's like, yeah, well, you didn't get into Michigan. That's why you're there. So to take a dig there, as a Michigan guy. Yeah, Wisconsin fans, most overrated in the country. The other list I made is the seven best. I put Washington State, Iowa, West Virginia, LSU, Appalachian State, East Carolina, and Texas A&M. A lot of that is just like rumor based and following these fan bases on like Old Row. And
why is Washington State so great? Why is it better than UW?
Oh, well, UW's like Seattle. So you get a lot of the city dwellers. It's like the better school academically, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But Washington State, you have like, it's like the furthest school from a freeway. The people, the fans, like apparently they had an away game at Mississippi State, I think like 5 years ago or something, and just like drank Starkville dry. There's like that famous clip.
That's
of
a lot of flights, by the way, from Pullman to Starkville.
Yeah, it's probably
not one plane.
Yeah, probably not. They don't fly direct.
No direct. I don't know if there's an airport near Washington State, but yeah.
No, I think it's the furthest from an airport as well. That would make sense. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, Appalachian State, they just recently became a high A school, right? An FBS school.
Yeah, they have a coach who's like, what is his name? Shatterfield or something. He's like rumored to get a big time job after this year, probably. Mm-hmm. They're pretty good. You know, they run like a hurry up and wait type of system in college, which is interesting. Yeah, their Instagram accounts are fire. They're Old Row Instagram accounts, and they have that famous sign that the sorority house put up against Miami. That's hilarious. So, shout out to them.
And what would you say, East Carolina? What's so good about East Carolina? They don't
another
really
another Carolina. One that I don't really know, but when you look at them on Old Row and how it looks like they tailgate, like you got to put them on the list. Scotty Montgomery is, for anyone who bets out there, just bet against him all season. He's an absolute train wreck of a coach. Has no idea what he's doing. It's like free money betting against him. But yeah, I mean, ECU, really, realistically, long term, it's not a terrible AAC job, but I think he's not a good coach. I have them winning two games this year.
All right, and what's it? Don't you have one more list?
Nah, that was it. That's all.
That's your last list. All right, so let's go quickly conference by conference. You tell me who you think is going to win the conference, and maybe a sleeper or a team that's going to be is a reverse sleeper that people think might be good is actually going to suck. Let's just do the Power Five. Let's start with the Big 12.
Big 12 is probably my most upsetty conference. I think Oklahoma comes back. I'll just give you like the storyline. I think there's a lot of group at the middle. TCU has become everyone in the media's darling. Kind of out on them having seven wins. Oklahoma, I think, comes down to earth. I think Texas and West Virginia end up playing in the Big 12 championship game. I really like Will Grier. I think I pick West Virginia to win that game. But I also like Texas this year. Either wouldn't surprise me. I think Oklahoma State goes 8-4 this year, losing the quarterback hurt. Another darlings, Iowa State. People love Matt Campbell, their coach. I think he needs one more year to get his horses in a row. So I have them also winning 7 games.
Okay, and who's at the who's the bottom dweller other than, you know, we just had a Kansas we had the Kansas Jayhawk on the podcast a couple episodes ago.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, imagine, wow. Yeah, a listener was the Jayhawk a couple years ago. Imagine, like, the only thing worse than being in a Kansas football game is being in a Kansas football game and being in that, like, hot, sweaty Jayhawk costume.
Yeah, at least Kansas. I don't think it's that hot there in Lawrence.
It's not so hot, especially not November.
Yeah. I think I remember Cole on your podcast, actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
How many games is Kansas going to win?
I have them winning 1 against Nicholls State. I have them losing at CMU. Losing to Rutgers, losing at Baylor. No, it's not good at all.
I mean, they're going to be underdogs probably in some of those games. Like, if they're in Rutgers, I assume Rutgers is going to be favored.
They're home against Rutgers. So, okay. But I still think Rutgers will probably be favored. Rutgers issues depth mainly. They've actually taken a lot of, like, JUCOs and stuff. So I don't think they're going to be as bad this year. We'll see.
Okay. Let's move to the ACC. Who's winning the ACC?
I mean, you have to be crazy not to pick Clemson. People, they may have 4 first-round picks on their D-line.
Yeah.
They pretty much have 2 quarterbacks that'll be either good or great, both of them. I actually really like Kelly Bryant. I have them beating Miami. I think Virginia Tech could have put up a fight, but with all the injuries and suspensions and drama that's going on there, I think they just take a step back this year and Miami pulls away in the other conference, in another division.
And who's the bad sleeper? Who's going to be worse than maybe people think?
Well, everyone thinks UVA is going to stink. I have Duke winning 5 games, which is not good for them. Syracuse at 4 and Wake at 5. So I guess all of those teams, that, you know, I'm not very high on any of them.
All right. Let's move to the Big Ten.
Oh, boy. Okay. I may get emotional here.
Okay. We already said Michigan's not being Ohio State.
No, but the way I have it falling out. So, like, I project every game. Pretty much, yes. Like winner and loser, like Chester S chart.
Did you do this before Chester, or like he inspired you? You realized you had. Do you do every D1 game, or just the Big 5, or how do you?
I do the Power 6.
Power 6, okay.
I like the AAC a lot, so I do them as well. Plus Notre Dame.
I really follow. You know, I follow the AAC because I'm a UConn fan. Even though I wouldn't say I love UConn football, only because like they don't love. I just saw a stat they went from 30,000 season ticket holders to 9,000 in like 3 years.
So yeah, that's not very good. I could probably do the Mac. I could probably do the Mac, but the Sun Belt.
Yeah, Mac's more fun
than
the AAC. I also think that UConn like will ultimately leave the AAC because I think the Big East will take them in basketball.
Would they do that?
They have to. I mean, you can't stay in a basketball. Like they want to win championships, and they've proven obviously that they can. And the women's team really suffers from also being in a garbage conference where they win every game by 90. They can't play. First of all, the road trips are insane. SMU in Texas, Tulsa's in Oklahoma, Tulane's in Louisiana. Like these, their road trips are crazier than like any baseball teams. It's an awful location. No team is near them. Like Temple's probably the closest, and that's not so close. Connecticut to Philly. It's just a nightmare scenario. The conference is awful. They let Wichita State in, which academically, like, is basically not an academic school. Like, it doesn't exist. They are unranked by U.S. News and World Report, which is not a good sign. Like,
no.
Yeah, so I hope UConn leaves the AAC. It's a disaster. And like, screw the football team. I only care about the basketball team. All right, so who's going to win the Big Ten? And then tell us what you think Michigan's record is going to be.
So after trashing on them, I have Wisconsin winning the Big Ten this year, going 10-2, winning the Big Ten. Michigan breaking my heart. They're 11-1 headed into Ohio State. Ohio State's 9-2, and beats them and wins the East. I have
Penn State. Did their loss to Michigan State or Penn State? Michigan, their first loss.
Wisconsin. So Michigan loses at home to Wisconsin, wins at
Notre
Dame.
By the way, that's rough. If, for people who don't know, there's really five elite teams in the Big Ten, right? And four of them are out east, and just Wisconsin is out west.
Yes.
So it's bad luck that you guys draw Wisconsin this year also.
Well, so the way the Big Ten set it up was we play Wisconsin, like, as our lock, I believe, like, every year.
Oh, do you play Wisconsin every year? That's not fair.
So for, like, so they pretty much made this, I don't forgot when, but Ohio State's locked into Nebraska, who should be a powerhouse, but hasn't been good in forever.
Right. Yeah, that's rough, actually. I didn't realize that.
We actually play Nebraska this year, too, and Wisconsin's other crossover is Penn State. So, yeah. I have Penn State going 10-2 with losses to Michigan and Ohio State. So that would put them out of it in the tiebreaker. So Ohio State would win the tiebreaker, but then lose to Wisconsin. And Wisconsin would make the Final Four.
So Wisconsin, that would be Ohio State's second loss. You're only getting one team.
No, I have Ohio State losing. That would be their third loss in the
But I'm saying you only have one Big Ten team.
Yes, I do.
The Badgers.
Yes, I do.
Michigan, would you be stunned out of your mind if they're not 6-0 going to the incredibly hard three-game stretch with Wisconsin, Michigan State, Penn State?
The Notre Dame game is very losable. It's on the road, opening game. I mean,
Does that ruin the year for you if you start 0-1 and look at the specter of needing to win your next 12 games against, you know, five top 10 teams probably?
Well, one, I think this year will be the first 10-2 team to get in. I think it's okay. I would even bet two teams get in this year that have two losses. I just think, you know, it's kind of, if you look back at the past, that's kind of how it would work out most of the years. And I think it's just crazy that, you know, the past 4 years, it just hasn't worked out that way.
Yeah.
But I definitely think this year at least one two-loss team will get in, maybe two. So I actually have two two-loss teams getting in this year. The loss to Notre Dame game, I mean, these opening games, they don't really mean as much as everyone makes them out to mean. Like,
yeah,
I know I'm going to be
I know you're saying that a two-loss team can make it, but you're essentially playing with no margin of error starting on September 8th if you lose that Notre Dame game.
Yeah, look, if we lose the Notre Dame game, obviously I'm going to be crazy, really upset. Beside myself, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, it really doesn't mean that much. If we go 11-2, we're in good shape to make the playoff.
If Notre Dame beats you guys, do you think there's a chance they can make the playoff or no? They have Stanford, Vatek, Florida State, and they end at USC.
So I have them winning 9 games and, you know, losing one to us. If they won that game, I would put that, I think they would back into be the fourth spot in my playoff. So definitely
it's hard to lose your last game, and so they'd have to actually go into USC and win, because those teams usually get jumped by, even if you know, some 10-2 SEC team would jump them.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll win. I think Notre Dame will put it. I think I have them losing to Michigan, Stanford, and Vatek as their three losses. Mm-hmm. And then I have them putting it together down the stretch. Notre Dame has a really good defense. I mean, they should have a really, really good defense. They obviously lost a ton offensively, but their defense should be really good. I've been reading a ton of previews on them. Their linebackers are really good. Their D-line's good.
Are you a Kelly guy? Do you think Kelly's a great coach? Do you think he's a really good coach, or do you think he's overrated? He's
probably like 10th best. Maybe a little better than that.
That's good.
Around then.
I mean,
yeah.
You could win a title.
I
don't know if they could recruit the athletes to win a title, but they could win
a title. They recruit the athlete. Notre Dame absolutely recruits with anyone in that level.
Well, I mean, you mean in the non-Alabama level?
Yes, exactly. In non-Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, essentially.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe Florida
right.
State.
But when they play one of those teams, they usually get exposed. Well, they only lost to Georgia by one last year, right?
Yeah, they lost at home by one. But look, Notre Dame, it's like any team in that realm that's, you know, tier B or tier 1A, whatever you want to call it, like Michigan, Penn State, I'd say the same thing, Miami, you know, Auburn, there's a ton of teams in this wheelhouse that, yeah, you're really good, but, you know, you kind of need all the breaks to win a national championship. probably make it. You know, I would bet Bryant, if Kelly's there for 5 years, they're making a Final Four at some point in those 5 years.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to the Pac-12. We haven't talked too much about the Pac-12. It looks like Washington is considered the only team that's really in the title picture. Do you agree with that, or is there another team you think could make it?
I think USC has the talent to do it, probably. I don't love Clay Helton. They probably have the talent to do it, but I don't see any team in the Pac-12 making it this year. I just think, I think Washington will lose the first game to Auburn, have another trip up, and then USC will lose Stanford, maybe Texas, and then people will just forget about the Pac-12.
Right. I haven't looked at the schedule yet. I usually do like a deep dive into the schedule, see like, all right, what are the best games, what do I need to watch. I have not. I've been so busy with the podcast and with – I'm in seven fantasy football leagues. I'm a loser. Is Washington Auburn the best early season game?
Well, you have Michigan Notre Dame's a great game. LSU Miami's a great game, and then the Monday night game is actually an ACC game. It's Florida State Virginia Tech. So there's a few games
don't excite me on September 1st. I don't know about you.
They're fine. They're good. They work. I like it. I think it's an advantage to get one of the conference games out and take like a quasi bye week during the season.
Yeah, get Nickel State.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and then let's go to the SEC. It seems like this is a slight down year outside the obvious powerhouses. Do you agree? Like there aren't eight teams in the top 25 like you see some years.
Eight is a lot, but I have seven. So maybe.
I think AP only has five this year, which is not a lot.
So as a Michigan fan, I'm obliged to be really, really high on South Carolina this year because they beat us in the bowl game. So I think Muschamp and Jacob Bentley, their quarterback, are really good. On my chart, I have them winning the East, but I've kind of done everything in my power to give them every win they could possibly have and give Georgia every loss they could possibly have. Georgia lost a lot. I don't know. South Carolina seems exciting this year. In the West, the five teams I have being really good are Mississippi State, LSU, Texas A&M, Auburn, and Bama, each for their own reasons. But I have Bama eventually winning the conference.
Do you have Bama going undefeated? Because their out-of-conference schedule is pretty easy, and then they don't draw Georgia, who's the only real elite team in the East. So
or South Carolina
or South
yeah
Carolina,
so
right?
the problem with Bama
are LSU, Auburn, and the Mississippi teams.
So the problem with Bama is like all their games that are tough, like I would say are like you're playing top 25, are pretty much, other than LSU, are at home. So Auburn, which should be a top 10 team this year, is at home. Mississippi State is at home, they should be top 20, and Texas A&M is at home, should be top 25 probably. So the only away game is LSU, and I have them losing that game to LSU as their one trip up, but obviously making the Final Four and beating South Carolina in the championship game. I just think Georgia last year lost a lot. You know, they lost a lot on defense, all around. See if they could put it together again. I mean, it's a hot take to pick against Georgia in the East. How weak the East is.
All right, so who's making the Final Four?
Oh, let me crap on Arkansas a little. Five wins, don't make a bowl. Chad Morris, terrible hire. Terrible.
So Chad Morris, you're down on. Any other coaches you think lose their job during the year or at the very end or right after the year?
Think a lot are not going to even make it through the season.
Who's going to go? Who's going to get? This is Durkin. A big coaches getting fired podcast. I don't know if you know that. So we always get excited. You're not supposed to talk about another man's job, but we do. We've always been into Black Monday. We call it a Green Monday. We love it. So who's getting fired?
I think Durkin's gone. That's Maryland's coach. Larry Fedora at UNC. I think he's a good coach, but I think, you know,
the results
I
have
think
not
he's
been there.
Done. Well, yeah. they went 11-1 one year, like I think 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Completely overlooked after last season's debacle. I think Dino Babers at Syracuse, 4 wins is, if they don't get that signature win at home against Clemson last year, he would have been on the hot seat. I think he's on his way out. I think Louisville has a decent season, but Petrino just has so much baggage and that program's getting in trouble. Maybe he's gone. Clawson at Wake Forest, I don't see turning it around. Sumlin just got hired at Arizona, but I think he's a disaster. Colorado and Arizona State, I think, are definitely.
I was always a Sumlin guy, but it now seems like maybe he got overpromoted. I think he was a really good offensive coordinator, who maybe, you know, some of these good offensive coordinators just don't translate.
Yeah, and I don't think he updated his system. Like, his system kind of always stayed the same. He was great when he had, you know, Johnny Football and two all-world tackles. But, you know, like, I give you the first pick in the NFL draft 2 years in a row to play tackle for you, you're going to be pretty good. But as soon as that went, and Mike Evans, not to mention, as soon as that went away.
Yeah, in hindsight, that was a pretty good team. Although Manziel, I guess, doesn't look as good. But, yeah, it still was a good team.
He literally, I remember saying, like, this Mike Evans is amazing. He's just throwing jump balls. Mike Evans throwing everyone out of the way and grabbing them.
But, yeah, I do feel bad because if you watch Mike Evans play, he looks – he's still impossible to cover. But Jameis is so Jameis, and now he's not even there, and Fitzpatrick's playing the first 3 games. I do think if Evans, like, played in Green Bay, he would be the best receiver in the NFL, and he would just have, like, 120 catches for 1,600 yards. But I'm not sure we'll ever see him with a great quarterback.
Yeah, you're completely out on Jameis?
Yeah, I think Chester and I are both out on Jameis. I think you need to, like, have your head on you know, to be an NFL quarterback for 15 years. Think about how much, you know, Eli stinks, but, like, think about how hard it is to just, like, be there and never get hurt and never get in trouble for, like, a zillion years in a row, like he's done, and never miss a game, except when he got benched for Geno Smith. It seems like it's over his head. He's not a good person. I just think, like, the incidents that have happened will probably continue to happen, or more will come out that already happened that we don't know about. It seems like he's also one strike away from basically being out of the league.
What do you think about Mariota?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time discussing Mariota. It's tricky. It's possible that Malarkey was just such a moron. I don't know why they should have hired an offensive coach. They hired Vrabel to try and be like Patriots South. And I don't know if that's the answer. I think the offensive coordinator is LaFleur, who's like not the, you know, they maybe could have gotten someone more exciting than him. Listen, Mariota's going to have a better career than Winston. And they've gone 9-7 2 years in a row, and it's not like they have such a stacked team. So, like, maybe we're underestimating him. His stats are atrocious. He threw 13 touchdowns last year, which is, like, 1970s stuff. We'll see. I'm not out on Mariota, but I would be getting a little nervous if I was a Titans fan.
All right,
so so the final four, Alabama, Ohio State.
No, not Wisconsin.
Alabama, Wisconsin,
Clemson,
not Washington, Clemson, and Georgia.
And then via my, like, I've ranked all the teams out, it would be the Big 12 winner of Texas, West Virginia, getting in over 10-2 Michigans and 10-2 Auburn.
If they have one loss.
They're going to have two losses but 11 wins. And then you have a 10-2 Auburn and a 10-2 Michigan. So I put the Big 12.
Wait, you're saying a 10-2 Texas would make it? I'm telling you right now, that's
11-2 Texas.
11-2. It's not happening. They're not putting a
or
two
an 11-2.
No,
over
the two loss.
But everyone has two losses, including Wisconsin.
Matter. Right.
So you're taking Auburn, who's
the team
also
with
or
two
Michigan
losses in the SEC? Is it two loss Georgia versus
no,
two
one
loss
Bama is already in, and then
yeah, I understand.
Other
who's the second
team
SEC team?
Auburn.
Yeah, I think Auburn would make
or
it.
Or Michigan is also 10-2.
In this
and
pretend.
Two.
Right. Part of it's
who
win loss.
Have
I
impossible
just
schedules. Auburn and Michigan have ridiculous schedules.
Right. Let's look at Texas's schedule.
They play the Big 12 and Maryland.
Yeah, no, and
they
also USC.
And USC, yeah.
So it's not an easy schedule. They have the Oklahomas, West Virginia, TCU.
And Tennessee.
Yeah, and the Kansas.
West Virginia
so if they're struggling,
NC
they
State.
Know they don't have to worry about that late season loss like Notre Dame does. I hate that Longhorn Network.
Anyway, I have the four seed getting rocked by Clemson, who would be the one. Mm-hmm. I have Wisconsin upsetting Alabama.
Okay.
And then
Clemson, Wisconsin, not such a
Clemson
final.
Beating Wisconsin. Yeah, that's going to be. Well, Wisconsin's going to have an amazing offensive line.
Yeah.
And Clemson.
That would be a good matchup because Clemson has an NFL. Clemson's D line basically could all those guys could be in the NFL this year. Well, basically,
people are projecting all four to be first round picks. So that's crazy.
Yes.
I mean, Clemson's loaded. So yeah, that'd be a fun match. I think it'd be maybe a little less fun than people want to see. Not as many points, but yeah, I mean. I'm very high on Wisconsin this year. I think their defense, you know, they lost a lot on defense, but I think they've shown they just rebuild it every year. So, no, mm-hmm. I don't have much of a reason to doubt them on that front.
Right. All right, I think that's good. All right, let's do people like this. So let's do one of these. You're gonna pick a random number. I'm gonna give you a team. It'll be a team we haven't discussed. And you're just going to give me a deep dive, everything you know about this team. One of the Power 5 teams, okay? Should we include the AAC or no?
I like the AAC. Yeah, sure.
Okay. So between one and 75.
So no Notre Dame.
Well, we discussed Notre Dame.
I'm kidding. Yeah, go. 62.
All right, 62. Here we go. Okay. Texas Tech Red Raiders.
So... yeah, apparently their defense is going to be better this year. If you didn't know, they don't play defense.
Yeah.
Their coach.
But that's part of the their charm. Like, they haven't played defense for so many years. It would be weird if they started playing defense.
Yeah. So, and then like people are like, well, stat adjusted, their defense isn't that bad. It's like, no, your stat adjusted defense is also absolutely abysmal. Cliff Kingsbury is their coach. He's like young and energetic. I have them going 5-7 and mm-hmm. winning that opener versus Ole Miss, which is for a college football nerd, like must watch TV. But for everyone else is like probably like the sloppiest played football game of all time. Like there will be missed tackles. Mm-hmm. So I have them winning their first three, beating Houston and then falling apart and winning two games the rest of the year, one of which is Kansas. So I have King Cliff getting fired. You know, I think Texas Tech is a tough job, the coach in Lubbock, but it's definitely doable. Like, you're in Texas. Leach really succeeded there. With the right hire, I think they could be good. And I think Kingsbury could be a good coach eventually. I just think he is too young and got in over his head at such a young age.
Yeah, he's not 40, right?
No, I don't think so.
Kingsbury, didn't he like date Paris Hilton or Britney Spears when he was a player? I think he did.
He might have.
He dated one of them, I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember.
Yeah, he was like a good looking guy. Yeah, he's still only 39. He makes $4 million a year. That's crazy.
Man, yeah.
Moms, raise your kids to be head football coaches of D1 schools.
Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, that he has to make more, and I think he's younger.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, he's not – but Lincoln Riley's the head coach at Oklahoma, you know. Kingsbury is like, the coach at, like, a very dull Texas Tech team right now. He's making.
Wait, did you know that Charlie Weiss Jr. is the – or Charlie Weiss's son, might not be Charlie Weiss Jr., is the FAU for Lane Kiffin. He's the co-coordinator there.
Yeah, doesn't he have, like, a bunch of, like, wacky names on his staff? Everything going on at FAU, they should do a show there because – He took a bunch of the guys from Last Chance U. He's got like a lot of like retreads and projects and people who like other people wouldn't take were very talented. Everything going on at FAU. Like, first of all, you wouldn't want to be a coach there because you know you kind of have to compete with Lane Kiffin for your own wife. That's tricky. And then I don't know. There should be like a reality show following FAU. All right, one more team. Number between 1 and 75.
4.
All right, the SMU Mustangs. We're staying in Texas.
Oh, God. That's probably, like, one of the only teams I don't really know. They played Michigan this year.
They have a new coach.
Their coach went to Arkansas. I have them at 6-6. But I really don't have a scouting report on them for you.
All right, so one more number, and then we'll wrap it up here.
6.
The Virginia Cavaliers.
So, Virginia Cavaliers, I have them winning 3 games. We're really bottom feeding here. Actually losing the opener to Richmond, which is a FBS school. Bronco Mendenhall said they have
Spiders.
he's their new coach. He came from BYU.
Yeah, BYU.
He said they have like 27 D1 caliber players or something like that.
Yeah. So now, if you're on the team when the new coach comes in and says that, how much are you like? You're like, oh well, I'm one of the 27, right?
I think everyone
because
like,
coaches
that.
Always come in and say that, and it's like, oh shoot, I thought I was the 40th best guy on the team, but not, like that, nah, I got to be one of those 27.
I think everyone thinks they're like the best player on the team, but UVA, their quarterback was pretty solid last year. He left. I just see they've been recruiting like terribly. So I have no, and it's not like Mike London, who preceded him, was recruiting great. Like, I see no reason why they're going to have any life in them. And then, like, if you lose one of those games, like, to Richmond or something.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it completely just takes the life out of your team.
What team in the ACC, although they were not in the ACC then, did Richmond famously beat in basketball? Do you know this?
Oh. One of my good friends is actually a professor at Richmond, a law school professor. The Spiders beat famous. I'm not sure.
It was a 15-2 game. They were the first 15 seed to ever beat a 2 seed. They beat Syracuse.
Who was on that Syracuse team?
I don't know off the top of my head because it was before my time. I'm not sure. The second team ever to beat. I think the second – I'm doing this all off the top of my head, but the second 15 to beat a 2, I think, was Santa Clara with Steve Nash over Arizona. So Santa Clara, in hindsight, had the best player on the floor. Although Arizona usually had some really good players in the early Lou Dolson era. I don't know who's on – I think it's post Derek Coleman, that Syracuse team. And I don't know if Richmond had anybody, but, yeah, the Richmond Spiders. That would be a bad loss. It wouldn't be like – you could watch that whole game on YouTube if people are interested. 91 Eastern Conference Eastern region game. Yeah. All right. So I'm excited. You got me excited for the college football season. It seems like there's a lot of parity, Robbie. It seems like there's not like even this Clemson team that wins. I'm not sure there's going to be a historically great team this season.
Yeah. I mean, they could be. I mean, everyone's like waiting for the first. It will eventually happen. First 15-0 team ever. I think Ohio State, like realistically, Ohio State, Clemson and Alabama all have the potential to do that. I don't really think anyone else can do that, Georgia would be a stretch, I think, to do that. But Ohio State's loaded, too. I mean, we haven't talked much about them, but, like, their two deep is just ridiculous, and they just replace talent with better talent, it seems, like, every year.
When they
I'm
beat
excited.
You, yeah. When they beat you, does it make you feel better if they're, like, the best team, or do you – no, you, it doesn't matter.
Akiva,
like,
I – you root against them. The second hardest I've cried after yeah. And I cry every year since I've been to Michigan when they lost. Second hardest I cried was I think Brady Hoke's last year it was when we went for two and they jumped the route and knocked it down and we lost by one. So we were like 5-7 that year, 4 and whatever we were. That was just as heart-wrenching. They're all really bad, all these losses. Since I've been there, we've won one game, and I graduated. I entered school in 2004, so it's not good.
By the way, the best player on that Syracuse basketball team was Billy Owens. If you're a big NBA fan, you'll definitely remember him. He's sort of been forgotten by history, but he was a really good player. The early 90s Warriors. He leaves when Weber comes, but he was like a swingman, like shooting guard and small forward. But he would average like 8 rebounds a year. And a lot of assists. He was a really good fantasy player. If you played fantasy basketball, if you were one of the 8 people playing fantasy basketball in like the early to mid-90s, for his career, averaged 6.7 rebounds and 11 points. He was a very good player who played parts of like 12 or 13 different seasons. But no stars on that Syracuse team. All right, Robbie, this was very informative. I think some of our listeners are NFL only or mostly NFL, so they definitely learned something. I definitely learned something. Thank you for your time. Maybe we'll have you come on and preview something. Maybe, I don't know, if Michigan's surprisingly a little better than you thought, maybe we could talk Michigan, Ohio State. You usually disappear. You do usually, as Chester says, disappear after the loss for a couple. Do you take that? I guess it's Saturday. It's not like the NFL. You have an extra day. Do you go into work on Monday in the years, which is every year, where Ohio State beats Michigan?
Yeah, I have been going in, but like it's like, I think like people don't really approach me. Like I'm very,
people know not
very
to talk
salty.
To you, right?
Yeah. And like, it's pretty, like, I'm pretty, like, happy-go-lucky, smile, and, like, walk down the halls all day. Like, smile at my desk. But, like, when you're pretty much crying your eyes out at your desk, people tend to avoid that guy.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
Like, yeah. So, and, like, I wear Michigan shirts pretty much every Friday to work. So, everyone knows I'm a huge fan.
All right, Robbie, thank you so much for your time. Chester, no, thank you for not being here. Dr. Jen, Chester doesn't know so much about college football, so I guess thanks for you know, him not having to interject with nonsense that was incorrect, and we'll just make him edit this. Hopefully, we made a lot of mistakes that he has to edit out. But Robbie, thanks so much. And
yeah, he's gonna make. He would have made me talk about like Minnesota the whole time.
Oh yeah, give us a quick Gophers prediction.
Do I have Minnesota? I have them going 6-6, so I do have them bowling.
I think very high on them last year, and Chester was like nervous, and obviously it did not pan out.
So here's some Big Ten West talk. Like, there's now three new exciting coaches: Brohm at Purdue, Fleck at Minnesota, and Frost at Nebraska. Like, one by definition is going to fail,
right?
Long term.
Plus, Northwestern is playing way better than they have in recent years.
So I actually have Northwestern from here on out doing really poorly. Mm-hmm. But like, as a result of these three new coaches, like, I think Fleck, you know, he made his name for himself at Western Michigan by recruiting better than everyone else in the MAC.
Right. And
he's not going to do that. Yeah, exactly. He's not going to do that in Minnesota. Like, you're not mm-hmm. out recruiting Michigan at Minnesota. Right. You're not out recruiting. Even Nebraska has more resources. So I think he's going to be good. I think I'm pretty high on him. But, you know, they cross-conference at Ohio State. That's a loss. They have a he has a tough road to build. And I think it's going to take him 3-4 years before they win 8 games.
All right. But long term, you're high on PJ Fleck.
I'd say lukewarm. Yeah.
All right. On that note, thanks so much, Robbie. Everyone have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow with some NFL thing. I don't know what.
Later.
Bye. Don't shine, we don't fear the darkness, 'cause we've never seen a